Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 18th of July, recording at 10:30 p.m. British Summer Time. Apologies for this later than usual recording. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were all, well, no, that's not true. Most of them were slightly higher. Japan was a little bit weaker, and so is the Hang Seng Index and the Australian ASX 200. European stock markets had a pretty good day. A number of gains over 1%, including the Euro Stoxx Index, the FTSE 100, the French CAC, that had the best at about performance, it seems, about one up 1.84%. AEX, that's Holland, good performance. Also Switzerland, up over 1%. In the US markets, we had Wall Street a little lower in the pre-openings and at one stage during the active trading, but then it picked up. And we ended with some reasonable gains here again today, on top of what we saw yesterday. The S&P closed up 0.67%. That's up 9 points. Takes it up to 1372 and change. The NASDAQ was better, even, up 1.12%. Long-dated government bond prices were quietly steady despite that stock market strength. The U.S. dollar had rallied a little bit early on in the day when stock markets were weaker, but then the U.S. dollar index actually closed or is trading after hours here with a small decline, and the Aussies pushed up to 103.64. The euro, though, is a little weaker here. It's currently 122.82. Sterling's also a little bit weaker. Well, it's virtually unchanged, 156.53. Now, the commodity sector generally was firm. Tin, which had been up yesterday, with the only industrial metal that was up yesterday, was down today, whereas the others all saw a small rally. I think lumber was down a little bit. Just about everything else was higher, except, and this is a big exception, except for the precious metals, and I'm chagrined to say that they all fell in here. Not a whole lot, but they went through that little sort of unnerving dance that we've seen in earlier days, where they sell off in the morning and into the early U.S. Trading hours, and then recover. And they did that again today, but then they sort of slipped back a little bit near the close. Now, gold bullion, as I speak, is at 15. Well, it's almost at 1574. So that's down $9.40. Okay, grains and beans. Gosh, they were as strong as precious metals were weak, and they started off with declines on the day. But here we've now got soybeans up at 16.20, and that's challenging the 1980 peak. Corn up to 7.84, wheat up to 9.03. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, the background to stock markets is, the background sentiment, I should say, remains very nervous, at least judging from what the newspapers are printing, and what we often see in the financial channel commentaries. Not that I watch all that much of that, except a little bit when I'm in my gym in the morning. Now, nevertheless, though, these performances, which started strengthening in early June, as you may recall, have continued well into July, and Wall Street, and so I think we've got the NASDAQ, and I think the S&P just about testing their highs that we had seen in the beginning of July. They had a little pullback at the beginning of July, but are pushed right back up. So again, it's an impressive performance, and I mentioned this S&P here. I think this is the most important by far to monitor. It's closed at 1372 and change. Now, that would have to take out that last low seen earlier this month, down at 1325, just to break the progression of higher lows that we've seen since early June. And that early June loan is, excuse me, that early June low is considerably lower. It's been an orderly move to the upside, so it's not looking overextended. And a number of other indices around the world are also edging higher in here, pushing back above their 200-day moving averages, and a number of those have turned up somewhat. So it's interesting that against the background of that bearish sentiment, and I mean, I've been sent reports talking about in the event of a systemic collapse or factors that might lead to a systemic collapse, and hearing that CNBC mentioning this morning that a hedge fund manager was saying we're within years of another massive crash, so on. Maybe there are a lot of bears here talking their book, but the low interest rates and weight of cash is holding sway at the moment. Now, I certainly would not want to be overconfident or complacent here in this environment, and far from it, I will say, but it is nonetheless very interesting. But and a lot of investors, as I mentioned yesterday, are going to continue to worry about that sell-off that commenced in late July last year and then became a rout temporarily in August and September. And well, as I said yesterday, I'm not going to worry about it. I'll try not to worry about it. As long as we see these rising lows on the S&P and a number of other indices, and we would see them start to give way long before anything could turn into a rout. And those rising lows will be broken at some point in here, inevitably, and because markets are still in overall ranging patterns. But the point I'm trying to make here is that I think the odds of a rout are at this stage definitely less than 50-50, maybe considerably lower, and there's just as good a chance that we get surprises to the upside. And I feel that the longer markets can maintain or hold above their 200-day moving averages, the leading indices, that is, the better. If they can do that well into October, then I think we should be set fair for a reasonable year end. But a lot of water will pass under the dam before we get into October, and it's best to assess this pretty much every day. High yielders, very much to the fore in here, along with autonomies. Okay, what about this gold action? Well, maybe it's in line with the deflationary concerns that are reflected by bond prices. Gold does certainly seem to have lost its safe haven status in the eyes of investors. I've said that for ever since this correction actually started, this big correction following the accelerated peak to the upside. So it's been performing more as a risk asset. I have felt that we were in a support building phase down here at these levels, where we're seeing ranging by silver, gold, and platinum, and also palladium. But I've also emphasized that we won't have confirmation that this is support building until we see a new short-term upward trend established overall. If markets are cruel, we'll see some tests or possibly even retests or possibly even breaks of range lows and downside failures before commencing a rally. Overall, I think it's tricky for futures traders, so I'm a little bit concerned about my own positions. I think, though, in terms of the next big move, that there's a lot more to the upside than to the downside. But again, let's take this in this environment, let's take this a day at a time in here. And grains and beans. Well, I said to Owen this morning, this is a day that I'm definitely not going to write about grains and beans. But, you know, with soybeans, corn, and wheat testing some prior resistance levels and remaining very steady at the moment, and the weather out of the Midwestern United States not being at all conducive so far to a major setback, that's going to require some clear forecasts of rain and not just a shower or two. But they're fighting their back way. They're not exiting the stage, in other words. So I'm sure they'll remain topical here for quite some time. And it is future food price inflation in the pipeline, I'm afraid, for consumers. Okay, let's see what tomorrow brings. All the best.